Now this morning we'll just have time to more or less have a probably just in a general introduction to Daniel. Our purpose of studying Daniel is to look at it in the light of the sanctuary, as we are every truth that we're studying here at this institute. The place of the sanctuary in the book of Daniel. Now it seems really that often in our study of the book of Daniel we work out what Daniel 2 is about, and we work out what Daniel 7 is about rather. We can go down through the history and the uprooting of the horns and put the dates on them, and we go through Daniel 8 the same way, and then we have perhaps more difficulty in Daniel 11, but perhaps we get through sitting in all the historical events. And I think we can study the book of Daniel and really not discern what the real overall point of it is. I think perhaps we might have an illustration of this principle tomorrow morning when Brother Hudson takes up with us the 1888 and the, say, the manuscript of Whelan and Short. Now, it's a very fine manuscript. I think you'll probably agree with that as you read through it. And yet you could read through that manuscript and find a tremendous number of detail in there. You could find about all the statements about how this man resisted and how this man resisted it, and how this man confessed that he was wrong and this man admitted that he was wrong, and what they did at the 1890C conference, and you go all through the different portions of the Whelan and Short manuscript, find all the different details of it, and have your focal attention on those things, and yet not discern the real import of what they're trying to convey. Now, we can do the same thing here with the study of the book of Daniel. Well, first of all, perhaps we'll leave out the sanctuary emphasis in it. We'll just look at the book of Daniel as it lays out in its historical outline. We have Daniel 2. The head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of brass, the legs of iron. Then the kingdom shall be divided. We have the tares of the image, part of iron, part of clay, some strong, some weak. They shall not cleave one to another. And then he beheld until the stone cut out with that hand out of the mountain and smote the image on the feet. And then it ends up by saying, and the kingdom and the greatness of the kingdom shall be given to the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all kingdoms shall serve and obey him. So it starts with Rome, rather it starts with Babylon, and it ends up with Rome. We come right down in the days of Rome. Then we come to Daniel 7. This time the prophet sees a vision, and covering the same ground as Nebuchadnezzar's vision, but this time not the kingdoms of the world as man might see them, as the genius of man, but he sees them as God gives him a vision, what the kingdoms of the earth are represented as: wild, ravaging beasts. The kingdom of Babylon, the two-winged lion, the bear that comes up on one side with the three ribs in his mouth, representing a conquest of Medo-Persia. Then the kingdom of Alexander, having four heads, the four divisions of Alexander's empire, the swiftness of a leopard added with four wings. It gives us a conception of the swiftness with which Alexander's empire swept the then known world. And then no beast in the forest could describe the hideous enormity of the fourth beast, the Roman power, which corresponds with the legs of a lion. And then the ten horns arising out of the Roman power, and from the ten horns there comes forth another little horn here, which first comes as a little horn amongst the ten, and then it grows more stout than its fellows and uproots three horns, which we've always believed is the uprooting of the three Arian kingdoms that comprise Western Rome, the barbarian kingdoms which founded themselves in the Roman Empire. The Vandals, the Heli, and the Ostrogoths. And then there is a time period given in Daniel 7, the first time period in the book of Daniel, as relating to the future events of God's people. The times, and a dividing of times, or 3.5 years prophetic time, when the saints would be trodden underfoot, when the church of God would be given into the hands of this little horn. And they would be trodden underfoot, seek to wear out the saints of the Most High, and shall seek to change times and laws. And Daniel beheld this wicked work of the man of sin going forward, treading under the saints of God, until such a time as he saw this vision, until he said, I beheld, until thrones were cast down in the Ancient of Days, it said. He sees the beginning of a great work of judgment going forward in heaven. And then while the work of the judgment was going forward in heaven, Daniel 7, verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And we have the description, the picture, even though the papacy, the first period of Rome, came to an end in 1798, and then after that the judgment was set, while the judgment was going forward in heaven, even while the judgment was in progress in heaven, down here on this earth, the horn still speaking great things, and continuing to speak great things until the beast was slain and the body given to the burning flame. Now it's significant to notice that the judgment, which began in 1844, was in progress in 1844. In 1870, the Roman Church made one of the most tremendous pronouncements in history. Do you remember what that was? I think we mentioned it. The infallibility of the Catholic Church was declared in 1870. While the judgment was going on in heaven, and the Most High was sitting, even judging the works of the papacy. Down here on earth was this power was speaking great things until the beast he beheld, until going forward, until the beast was slain and the body given to the burning flame. And so Daniel 7, like Daniel 2, begins with Rome, begins with Babylon and ends with Rome. Daniel 2 says, a stone of thy hand smote the image on the feet and it was destroyed. Daniel 7, the beast was slain and his body given to the burning flame. And then, and the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Very much the same ground covered, only a little more detail thrown in. Then the next line of prophecy comes the view in Daniel 8 with the ram pushing eastward and northward and southward. None could stand before the ram. He became great. And then from the west came the goat with a big notable horn between its eyes, touched not the ground for the feet of it, came to the ram, smote the ram. Then the little horn, this notable horn between the eyes, was broken. Came forth four horns toward the wind of heaven. And then out of one of the horns came a little horn, which didn't remain small, but waxed exceeding great. And you notice here I've drawn this horn right through here, right down to the end of all things, where the horn will be smitten without hand. This horn was prophesied that this power would take away the daily and place the abomination and make it desolate. Well, in Daniel 8 and 9, we have the prophecies of the Lord concerning the Lord Jesus and his ministry in the heavenly sanctuary from 457 down to 27 AD. Christ is baptized, his death, the rejection of the Jewish nation. And thus, really, through the prophecy of Daniel 8 and 9, you can find the commencement, reaches down to the commencement of the daily ministry. The disciples, we discussed yesterday, the disciples preached the message, and their message, although they didn't understand it, was to usher in the beginning of Christ's priestly ministry in the daily service. This began after Christ's ascension. This little horn waxed exceeding great, took away the daily, and here is a picture of the, representing the persecution of the church during these 1260 years again. And then Daniel 8:13, the question was asked, how long shall this continue? How long shall the sanctuary remain desolate and the host of God be trodden underfoot? And the answer was given under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So Daniel 8 is merely explaining more of Daniel 7. Daniel 7 says the judgment was set and the books are open. The Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. Daniel 8 takes you down through the same period of time but gives you the starting point of the judgment. From Daniel 7 you know that the judgment takes place after 1798. But you don't know whether it starts at 1798 or 100 years after or 200 years after. But you know that just shortly after 1798 the judgment starts. Daniel 8 gives us more detail and gives us the commencement of the judgment. There is a picture representing the antitypical Day of Atonement, the children of Israel around the sanctuary. And then it says that horn was broken without hand. That reminds us of Daniel 2, doesn't it? What happened in Daniel 2? You got the four kingdoms, and how did they end up? Brother Wagner, you remember? Stone cut out without hand. Daniel 8, the little horn was broken. Scripture says here, without hand. But he shall be broken without hand. Verse 25. So it's only going down the same ground again. Starting off this time with Medo-Persia, doesn't start with Babylon, because Babylon was just about to fall at the time of Daniel had the vision in Daniel 8. Takes us down through the stream of time again and ends up with Rome being destroyed, and the time has come once again for the saints to take the kingdom. Then the fourth line of prophecy, there are four great lines of prophecy in Daniel 11. Daniel 10 to 12, rather. Fourth line of prophecy begins here. More elaboration on the kingdom of Medo-Persia. More elaboration on the kingdom of Grecia. Kingdom of Grecia was divided between the north and the south. They warred for quite a long time until Rome came on the scene. Mentions the compromise, the breakdown of pagan Rome, the rise of papal Rome. The taking away the daily, I've used the date here, you notice 508. That is the date on the 1843 chart. The time prophecy is reaching down to 1798, the time of the end, and 1843-1844 period. You remember Daniel twice asked how long it was till the end of time. And Sister White mentions that in Testament to Ministers, page 112 through to 114, she says, study Daniel in connection with the Revelation and so on. Twice Daniel asked how long was it the end of time. He asked twice how long was the end of time. The Son of the Lord points out, now the end of time here is not meaning the end of time in the sense of the second coming, but the end of prophetic time, or the time of the end. Now Daniel asked two questions. Twice Daniel asked how long was it the end of time, and it's interesting to notice he got two answers. Because in one sense, the time of the end began in 1798, and then all prophetic time ended in 1844. He was given two answers, one the 1290 days, reaching down to 1798, and the other one reaching down to the time of the midnight cry. Now it says, blessed is he that cometh to the 1335 days. Now the servant of the Lord tells us to study Revelation in connection with Daniel. Now Daniel says, blessed is he, this was the time of the end, 1798, when you have the beginning of the great light shining upon the scriptures. You remember the French Revolution, we touched on it briefly, the scriptures were exalted under heaven after the French Revolution. They ascended into heaven in a cloud, the Bible was scattered all over the earth.
What's that ascending into
heaven? Exaltation of the scriptures. They were slain beforehand. Now the Bible was magnified in 1798. Many attentions were directed to the Word of God. So this was the time of the end when many should run to and fro, search to and fro in the prophecies, and knowledge concerning those prophecies should be increased. But the Bible says, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Why? Does Revelation say anything about that same blessing?
Yeah.
What does it say?
Blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth.
Yes, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. So you have the two witnesses, one in the Old Testament, other in the New Testament. Daniel 12, blessed is he that cometh to the 1,335 days. In other words, although it was a great blessing to come down to this time, the end, blessed are the ones that came up to that great 1844 movement when the last work would go forward in the heavenly sanctuary. And why the blessing? Revelation 14, verse 13 says, blessed are they that die in the Lord from henceforth. The works may follow them. Why are they blessed? What will happen for those? Why are they blessed? From henceforth, from 1844 down, a special blessing on those that have died since 1844 in the face of the great third angel's message. Raised in the special resurrection. That's right, it's mentioned in Daniel 12 and in Revelation 1. The partial resurrection, and then we have the clarifying light of it in the spirit of prophecy. They come up under the seventh plague. With those who are alive upon the earth, they're glorified, they see the commandments of God hung in the heavens. So it's blessed are they that waiteth and cometh for 1,335 days. It is since 1844 a special blessing. That's what the servant of the Lord says, that the special blessing is pronounced upon such people.
Where is this reference in chapter 12, verse 13?
The special
resurrection?
No, verse 3.
3?
Yeah. I think it's verse 3, or is it verse 2?
Verse 2.
And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So the ones who come up in the partial resurrection are those who have died in the faith of the third angel's message, as Sister White says. Now, how long has the third angel's message been sounding? Yeah, since 1844. So the blessing is from 1844 onwards. And the ones who come up in the partial resurrection are those who have died in the faith of the third angel's message. Anybody else? Those who pierced Jesus. Does that only mean the Roman soldiers or the high priests and the priests of the rulers of the Jewish nation? The foremost rejecters of light in every age come up in the partial resurrection. Revelation 1, I think it's verse 7, is very much the same. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also with pierced him. Alright, that's just briefly on the times there in Daniel. Daniel the 8th chapter ends up with the great day of atonement. The horn is broken with our hands. Daniel 11 we got down here into some of these time periods, that's right. Then it mentions in the last verses of Daniel a great conflict between the king of the north and the king of the south. We won't take that in detail yet, we'll study that further tomorrow. A great conflict between the king of the north and the king of the south is dealt with in the Daniel right down through the stream of time, ending up from Daniel 11 verse 40 onwards. And there's three powers brought to view. There's the king of the north, there's the king of the south, and in between there's the Israel of God. And Daniel 11 ends up very much the same as all the other prophecies, because it says, and yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. In that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince who standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Thy people shall be delivered. So you can see the end of Daniel 11 is essentially just the same as the end of Daniel 2, the end of Daniel 7, the end of Daniel 8. You can see they're all parallel lines of prophecy. The way God teaches the scripture, he starts off with Daniel 2 in a very simple outline. Daniel 7, there is more detail given. Daniel 8, there's more detail again given. And Daniel 11, there's more detail again. And the Lord starts off by repetition and enlargement, the principle of repetition and enlargement. In other words, it's systematic. So Daniel 2 starts off with Babylon. It ends up with Rome being broken and finished. Daniel 7 Same ground, Rome being finished again. Daniel 8 starts off with Medo Persia, down to the same history, broken without hand, the sun. And it seems that the last one, down to the same history again and the same conclusion. And thus it seems that the point raised by James White early in our movement was a very sound one. This was the line of reasoning he used. He said, if this ends up with Rome and Daniel 2 being broke, if the last power in Daniel 2 is Rome, if the last power, which is the beast which is slain in Daniel 7, is Rome, if the horn which is broken without hand is Rome, then we can conclude, he says, that the power which comes to his end, and none shall help him, that too must also be Rome. Now that's just a brief outline of the whole field of Daniel, just the historical setting, the story of the rise and the fall of kingdoms. And as we said at the introduction, that in our study of Daniel, we can be so, our eyes, our minds can be so directed upon the historical events. And I'm not saying that we should discard the historical events. We should take note of them. We should study them carefully. But our minds can be so directed just to the historical events of the book of Daniel, the rise and fall of kingdoms, that we come away from the study of Daniel and say, well, the main story of Daniel all the way down through is the story of what will happen to the nations of the earth. Until the end, it gets right up to the end, then it tells you, well, after all those kingdoms have passed off the scene of action, then God's people come into the picture. That really is not the main story of the book of Daniel. And this morning I think we'll just take time now to introduce the main purpose of the book. We go back to the first chapter. In the testimony to ministers, on that section on page 112 to 116, the servant of the Lord gives us a very sound piece of advice in the study of the book of Daniel. She said, consider the circumstances of the Jewish nation when the prophecy was given. Because when we consider the circumstances of the Jewish nation, when the prophecy of Daniel was written, then that gives us an important key to understanding the theme of the book of Daniel. Now, when we study the circumstances of the Jewish nation, when these prophecies were given, we can just put one word on the board. And what is that? Captivity. That's right, captivity. So the book of Daniel must be studied in the light of the captivity of the Jewish nation. Let us notice verse 1. We'll read the first three verses. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish. And they were taken down into the land of the Chaldeans. More detail concerning that is given in the book of Chronicles. And also Jeremiah, in the last chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and also in Chronicles. I think it's 2 Chronicles 36, if my memory serves me rightly. The record is simply this, that in 606, and round about those years, the king of Babylon came down into Jerusalem to destroy it. And the city was overthrown, and God's kingdom was destroyed. In the Old Testament, we find that there was Jerusalem, and there was Babylon. Jerusalem was represented as God's city. Children of Israel was God's corporate people upon the earth, God's kingdom. Babylon is represented in the Old Testament. Isaiah has been Satan's kingdom.
So we have God's kingdom. Daniel starts off with the circumstances of the Jewish nation. God's kingdom. Over Israel. Came into the sanctuary was destroyed. It was made desolate. The Babylonians polluted the sanctuary. The beautiful temple built by Solomon was utterly destroyed. So the sanctuary desolated. And what happened to the people? People in captivity. Now that is how the book of Daniel opens. As the servant of the Lord says, consider the circumstances of the Jewish nation when the prophecies of Daniel were given. And Daniel was one of these captives. He beheld the Babylonians coming down overthrowing God's kingdom. He saw the sanctuary destroyed. And perhaps we'd have to be a Jew to realize what that would mean to a Jew. The whole worship centered there in the sanctuary. Pardon? On what statement? Yes, testimony of the ministers, page 114 to 116. Now it's in, rather 112 to 116. I think it's probably on 112 to 114. Just look at those pages, you'll find it there. I haven't got testimony of the ministers with me this morning. We had it last night. Brother Osborne read this statement, you may remember. He read it out last night. And Daniel was one of the captives. They were taken down into the land of China. Now we can, it's simple enough to imagine what was foremost in Daniel's mind. That he was carried off captive to Babylon. Passing the long years down there, studying the books of Jeremiah to see how God's people would remain in captivity. What did he look forward to? What was Daniel waiting for? What was the longing of his heart, evidenced in his prayer of Daniel 9? Well, he wanted to see the restoration. He wanted to see God's kingdom set up, not overthrown by Babylonians or by the enemy, but God's kingdom supreme on the earth. He wanted to see the sanctuary restored, and God's people delivered from captivity, and delivered from the power of the evil one, and restored in their own land. That's how the book of Daniel opens, and from there on, that is virtually the whole story of the book of Daniel. Daniel takes up the story. The whole book is dealing with this question. Going beyond the 70 years which Daniel saw this taking place at the end of the 70 years. That was but only a type, a partial fulfillment. But Daniel was taken and shown the real story on how God's kingdom would be set up. Not just back in the land of Canaan where they'd go into apostasy again and be taken back to captivity again. Daniel shown the story of the outline of how God's kingdom would be truly set up forever. Daniel was shown how the sanctuary would be restored, truly restored. Not to be overthrown again and again by the Babylonians, but how that sanctuary would be finally set there, established in its rightful state. And he is shown through the book of Daniel how God's people would be delivered from captivity. Why, what does Daniel begin with? Daniel 1, God's people going into captivity. How does the book of Daniel end? Daniel 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and they shall be delivered, every one whose name is written in the book. So there you have it, from the beginning of the book of Daniel right down to the end of the book of Daniel. So as we now will go through tomorrow in the book of Daniel, we must keep these facts focused in mind. Consider the Jewish nation when the prophecies were given. Kingdom of God overthrown, the sanctuary desolate, God's people carried into captivity. This we will trace tomorrow as a story which is outlined through the book of Daniel.